You look just like I did at your age.
Please don't say that, Dad.
I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, young lady.
Love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
You're listening to Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast, two friends since you had to dial into the internet. Now Dad's reliving the Disney movies we grew up on with our own kids. I'm Eddie Ferguson.
And I'm JB Wagner. And on today's episode, we enjoy some blue cheese sugar cookies as we review Snow Dogs. But before that, Eddie, how are you and the family?
We're doing well. We've had quite the round. We've had another round of sicknesses. This Ooh. Is just, I will spare the details, but it was funny today in the afternoon, Ellie got a spurt of energy. She's been sick, not feeling well, just not herself. Then she took a really good nap. And then she kind of got that like crazy energy, like a little slap happy energy.
Mm-hmm.
And at two, almost two and a half, she passionately talks about everything. Like everything is just
with her
like,
hands. I wonder where she gets that.
Of course, of course. But the problem is her pronunciation, of course, is at a 2-year-old's level. So we have no idea what she is talking about.
But she cares a lot about it.
So tonight at dinner, that was like everything was just like she was speaking so passionately to us. But we couldn't understand anything. And she's looking at us just exasperated that, why can't you understand me? Why can't you get what I'm trying to communicate? But yes, that is life with a 2-year-old. Very dramatic. Everything is, you know, quite dire, but we're making it through. Enough about me. We have a lot to cover because with this film, do we call it a film? Sure, we'll call it a film.
It was in theaters. It was in theaters, Eddie.
I always think of film as like high level art, you know.
Cinema. You got it.
Cinema. There we go.
This is not cinema.
This is not cinema. We cross into 2002.
20 years ago, Eddie. What were you doing 20 years ago?
Probably doing something stupid with you.
Yep. 2002 is when we got into high school, correct?
This would have been our second year of high school. We would have been in our sophomore
That's
year.
That's right. We are getting so close to the end on here.
Yeah, we are.
Got like 40 episodes left or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is about the time Disney really starts cranking out the movies.
So we got some time.
We've got some time.
In the last 3 years of our childhood, there's still a lot of movies left.
So, yeah, that would have been sophomore year. I was just trying to think if there was anything significant.
The 2003 was when we would have gotten our licenses.
Yeah, I was thinking like 2003 is going to be a big year because we got our licenses. And we also, that was the year that we went to Brazil, like you and I, we saw each other more that summer than our own families because we went to Brazil in a room together. We spent 2 weeks at Lake Anne, but that's next year. We're borrowing from 2003. So I can't think of 2002 anything. Oh, our sisters graduated high school.
Yes, that spring they graduated together and we took over the school together now that we had them out of the way. So.
Right. We were out from their shadow and we could take over. So that fall, definitely.
It was our last year in the old building before we went to the brand new spanking high school with the computer
That's
lab I lived
true.
In.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah, 2002 would have been the last in that one.
So Eddie, take us away on the politics. What happened in 2002? What was special?
I remember like 2002, you got to remember, I would say like pre-2001, right? Pre-9/11. I don't know. I don't remember like international news being just as big as it has been since, right? Like now, and in 2002, there's, you know, two events that I distinctly remember that you wrote down here. First, I'll go with is the North Korea admitting to nuclear arms. I think this is also that time like I became aware of that whole issue over there on the Korean Peninsula and everything. And that was just kind of an interesting term. And then, you know, ever since then, we've always, it feels like every year there's just this conversation of like North Korea, they've got nuclear weapons.
They're back.
They're testing a missile. You know, it's kind of like something.
Literally, there was one today. They shot a missile over Japan. That was today.
Today.
They don't go away. They're like a Kardashian. They got to get in the news. Only it's way more repercussions when they do.
Did you see the Kardashians have a new show on Hulu? Like they've come back with
They quit their show and now they're back because they can't quit us. We try to quit them, but they can't quit us. So
it is annoying because I'm trying to watch. I'm getting sidelined here, of course, but I'm hooked on Welcome to Wrexham, which is on Hulu. And like that's all the commercials right now. And I'm like, I don't want to see, you know, I don't care. So I literally like turn my iPad away from me and I'm like, none of you. Speaking of none of you, Enron collapses. And shall we say, royally screwed over quite a few people and was kind of, I think, one of the first times that people began to realize there's no such thing as too big to fail. Like you can. And there was scandal at so many levels there. And some great documentaries out there. If you ever want to dive deep into this, there's a good one out there on Netflix. And then lastly, Hugo Chavez is ousted from Venezuela, initiating what, again, something that we're still seeing today. That's definitely getting a lot worse with all of this. You know, and just saw the degradation and the downward spiral of that whole country to where now it's a pretty much a failed state. So, which is really, it's funny. It's not funny, but it's interesting. we've just had a huge influx of Venezuelan refugees here in Costa Rica. And just within the last month, like you can't go anywhere without there being somebody on a street corner asking for help because of all this. So it's fascinating to see like something that happened 20 years ago is still having significant repercussions today. Just the way Chavez ran that country and just set everything up. You're just seeing it, even though he was ousted 20 years ago, is such poor systems that are still coming to bear on those poor people even today.
Another travesty that happened 20 years ago that we're still paying for now is Tom Brady winning his first Super Bowl. That was 20 years ago. Crazy to think of right now.
And he's still playing.
Still playing, still kicking, still trying to make it a thing, evidently. But man, 20 years of Super Bowls from Tom Brady. I want to move on as fast as possible. But also, we had the Lakers. They finished off their three-peat of the Kobe and Shaq era. That was in 2002. The Angels won the World Series. So my wife somewhere is really excited about this. I think this is one of their last World Series wins, though. Then we had the Winter Olympics. Eddie, I know you're a big Olympics guru. So Salt Lake City. Yeah. For some odd reason, he ran for president a couple years ago. He was heavily involved in this, right?
Yeah. So Mitt Romney was the chairman of this and like organized and ran the whole games. He's since run for president and is now the senator from the great state of Utah, which hosted these Olympics.
I knew that he was heavily involved and I knew that you would set me straight on that.
It was good games. That was a fun opening ceremony. I distinctly remember that. It was very creative.
So this is crazy. So you mentioned Brazil. We were in Brazil, but this would have been the year after they won the World Cup.
Yeah, I remember somebody. And so when we were there the following year in 2003, somebody gave me a Brazil soccer jersey that I still have to this day. And what was distinct about it is it was new. It had the star for the 2002 World Cup. And this year's a World Cup just starts. It starts here. When it's weird this year.
It's in November.
End of November into December.
All through the holiday season. Just started seeing ads for it. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm getting excited.
So that is it for sports. Eddie, you're going to take us into the entertainment world.
Yeah, let's start with the most important one of all. Nickelback's How You Remind Me was the number one song of 2002.
I was so excited to put this on there. I was so happy.
I don't think anything defines the early 2000s better than Nickelback.
Nickelback
captures so much.
I love whenever anytime anyone uses them as a meme for anything, of like, it's the Nickelback of blank.
Yeah.
It's like, you just know it's popular, trashy, but catchy.
I had a roommate in college who was convinced Nickelback was the greatest band of all time. And not in an ironic way.
I know this wasn't Carlos.
No. Not in an ironic way, like sincerely. He's like, the greatest band, so underrated. Like, can you listen to that with headphones on? Because I disagree with you on that.
They figured out the formula. That's all there is to it.
One thing I do agree with was the best picture of that year, Beautiful Mind, Russell Crowe. That's a fantastic, fantastic movie. I haven't watched that in a while. That would be a good rewatch and go back. I've got to see where that's streaming. Top grossing film of that year, Spider-Man arguably kicks off the superhero phase that we're kind of in now. And if I remember correctly, it was, I think, one of Kevin Feige's first producing credits. I need to go back and double check myself on that one, but
crazy to think it's been 20 years with just now finished. So he played that role 19 years before what now No Way Home, that came out this past December, where we had the reuniting of all the Spider-Men together. If you haven't watched it, I'm sorry to spoil it for you, but you've been living under a rock. It's crazy to think.
When he comes back as a cool youth pastor. Arguably the best line of that whole movie. I fell out of my chair laughing the first time I heard Andrew Garfield drop that line.
I would love to see you cackling in the theater.
Well, and it's one of those lines that hits certain people, you know, and not everybody. So you're heard clearly. Another moment that distinctly happened, Date Night came out when I was living here before, and I was watching it in English with Spanish subtitles. And there's this great line in there from Steve Carell when he's trying to get this couple to invest some extra money. And they're like, you know, what would be so sexy is if we went on this vacation through Spain or whatever, and just deadpan Steve Carell. He goes, you know, what would be sexy is if you opened a Roth IRA. And I died laughing, but Roth IRA is not something here in Costa Rica. And so I'm the only one laughing, and I am laughing hard and loud. It's just like
those Dave Ramsey jokes, man.
It was a good one. I thought it was great. Speaking of greatness, we did have some of the greatest movies ever made come out this year. Let's start with the greatest, Star Wars, Episode II, Attack of the Clones, where we get the Obi-Wan Kenobi mullet for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is needed. Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets is released.
Very nice.
And Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. How did we get something from three? Let's think this through here. What are the bigger nerd fantasy movies out there than Harry Potter, Star Wars, and Lord of the Rings?
And Spider-Man. The only one we're missing is Batman.
But that Batman has never come up to the numbers and levels.
Dark Knight, Batman Begins, that thing was right up there. It was pretty freaking high up there.
But those are big franchises, though.
Betty, this right here, this Murderer's Row of films is the reason that I am the nerd that I am today.
Yeah, me too.
Because do you remember what my first film was that I saw in theaters?
Right here, Star Wars Episode II, right?
Star Wars Episode II. First time I saw a movie in theaters. Yes, I was in high school at this time. Yes, it was a lot delayed versus a lot of other people, but we're not going to talk about that.
It's okay. It's okay.
Still healing from that. But no, Star Wars Episode II, and then you throw in there, all of these movies have a special place in my heart. Maybe not as much Spider-Man, because I'm not a huge Tobey Maguire fan, but right, the rest of these, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and Harry Potter all together, they're all on my nerd arm, Eddie. They're all here. They're all right here.
In my nerd arm. I mean, how lucky are we that this was high school for us? Was all of these franchises just dropping all the time?
Oh, we forgot about that weird Superman movie in there too. That was Superman, like in 2005 or whatever.
Superman Returns, I think it was. Yeah, yeah. Oh gosh, that was
Superman
awesome.
Returns was the one that I saw with Jeremy Camp. I was sitting.
We did.
That's right. We were sitting there in the theater, and then all of a sudden, this massive dude comes in. I'm like, that guy looks like a pro athlete. Then the next guy came in that was fairly ripped, but a shorter dude with this like giant dragon on his shirt. Like, I think he's a musician, an artist. I think that's Jeremy Camp. Okay, there we go.
If memory serves me correct, it was a random showing. It was like a Friday afternoon or something like that. And we were the only people in the theater. And the theater there in Brownsburg just opened. It was like, I think that was the first movie I ever saw in that theater. And we thought, oh man, we got the whole movie theater ourselves. And they showed up like 5 minutes before it started. The crazy memory. Yes. Yes. So Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. Arguably the weakest in the prequels.
It's not arguably. I mean, depends on how much you hate Jar Jar Binks.
See, I don't mind Jar Jar Binks.
Eddie, hot take.
Phantom, I said I don't mind him. That's a big, big difference.
Is he secretly a Jedi, Eddie?
I think I love those videos that he's the Sith Lord. Yes. I wish that was the truth. Honestly, okay, let's go into this.
I've set you
off. This is what J.J. Abrams should have done. At the end of Rise of Skywalker, it should have been Jar Jar, not Palpatine. That would have, like, do you know how big that would have been? You know how huge that would have exploded worldwide? Oh my gosh, that would have been so great.
Or they would have been laughed off out of Hollywood altogether.
And what's the difference? Like, that movie was horrible anyway.
So should I cover some of these random ones to finish this off 2002?
Yes, please.
I just have two, the most random ones out here, and I feel like they're connected somehow. First off, we have Michael Jackson, that infamous video of him. He just had a brand new baby, and he's hanging the baby over the balcony of the hotel somewhere, and it's just like very perilous. It's all over the news. It's so ridiculous what happens, and the baby is fine and everything.
Freaks out.
Yeah, everybody lost their minds, as they probably should have. And then the other random fact that we didn't have a place for this, so I just threw in the random, is that Kmart filed bankruptcy at this time, and I feel like this was a very prolonged bankruptcy. This thing went on for a long, long time, because that Kmart in Brownsburg was there for a long time.
Oh, I mean, there's, I think, still two Kmarts out there today, because like Sears came in and bought them, and it was this long.
I went to a Kmart. I went to an active Kmart in 2011, 2012.
I can't remember the last one. Well, you think like Kmart, that's all we had in Brownsburg until I think the Walmart in Brownsburg opened in 2002.
No, it came in 1999, because really? I remember right around that time, that was the whole thing where my family bought a bunch of extra macaroni. I just have very distinct memories of like macaroni and the macaroni and cheese and talking about the new Walmart that was coming in. Maybe it was 2001. Time, but no, it kind of had to have been, because that Walmart was where I saw the Survivor magazine to bet on Survivor.
But that was 2001, right?
So that's where it had to have been before then. That's why I thought it was 2000. But you know what? That's a story for another day. Okay, so we got some Disney news. We have to cover all this because it's just like great stuff.
That's 2002. Let's just close the book on
20 years ago. It's done. We're not going to talk about it again. Couple other.
So fast forward to today.
Today, some breaking news this week. First off, James Earl Jones, he's stepping down as the voice of Darth Vader officially. He's 91. Is that correct? Yeah. He's in his 90s. Yeah. It's his time. He's put in the good work and he's being replaced by AI. And it sounds like he's already been replaced by AI to some degree in some of the new stuff that's out there.
Well, I would imagine his voice isn't exactly the same as it was all those years ago. So yeah. They've had to do some AI touch ups and whatnot. This seemed like weird news to me. Like, I just assumed it had been replaced by AI already.
I hadn't thought about it. But we have had him show up in a lot of things recently over the past couple of years.
I still love the fact that, you know, he had a severe stutter as a child and had to go through a lot of treatment. And now he's one of the most recognizable voices of all time.
You talk about the thing that you are self-conscious about and the thing that you should not be a strength of yours to then be known for the rest of your life for that thing. That's incredibly remarkable.
It's remarkable.
Incredible. Yeah. Are you sad? Are you sad he's hanging it up? Are you glad? Are you like, what would you feel when you said, or were you like, he's still
going? I was kind of like, I was like, good for him. Go take a break, dude. Like
you've earned it.
You know, like Disney should give you a free cruise or something after all the money you've made them between Darth Vader and Mufasa. Dude, give that guy like a 7-night cruise in the Bahamas.
He's never, you know how he has never had to pay for a ticket to Disneyland. I'm sure of it. If anyone saw him walking in, they'd be like, no, you should not be paying to go into this place. This is, you built this place. You've kind of built this place.
I just want to, yeah, he has an incredible voice. I do hope he still does some work and whatnot, but
the AI voice seems to, the AI voice seems to be doing well.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't noticing anything crazy.
That's crazy though that it's AI.
Evidently it's a Ukrainian company.
Yeah, that article you sent, that was interesting. And the production was delayed a little bit because of the invasion and the war.
Yeah, so the voice that they used, which on the was it Obi-Wan that they were using it for?
Yes, Obi-Wan.
So because of the war and stuff, it got delayed a little bit, or there were some questions about if it was going to get done in time. They did delay Obi-Wan just like a day or something, but that wouldn't have been enough just because of that voice alone. So it just makes me wonder if there was just like not rumors, but it seemed like it was going to be delayed. And they were a little, from the article, that they were just worried that it wasn't going to get out in time, but they were able to make it all work and everything like that. I would love to know how all that AI stuff works. I haven't really delved into enough of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about like a face and video makes sense in my brain. Like my brain goes, okay, yeah, okay, I can see that. But a voice? That's crazy. Like, yeah, that starts just asking so many other questions. Like, can we go back and get old voices to do, you know, other things? And
like if we could get old recordings of Abraham Lincoln,
which there are a few.
It's gonna be our next thing, Eddie. It's gonna be the next thing. Speaking of next things, we had a trailer drop today that you just watched right before we went on here, so it's fresh in your blood right now. You've just taken it in. Wakanda Forever. We finally get a little bit more story here. Not just the highlights and not just the cool shots, but we actually got a little bit of storyline with here. It's a storyline that I know nothing about. There's a lot of hype around Namor. This, I'm assuming he's from the Wall. I'm gonna show you exactly how little I know about this guy. He's from a water terrestrial area underwater, and that's it. He's got little fins. And evidently, he's a big deal. Eddie, do you know anything about Namor and his presence in this thing?
No, I am comic book illiterate here.
Is he Marvel's version of Aquaman? And is Jason Momoa quivering in his boots right now?
I do know this much, because I want to say this was from a Screen Crush video. Aquaman is DC's version of Neymar. Neymar came first.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, take that. Take that, DC. So yes, it's actually the other way around. I think what I'm most excited about here is it looks kind of like a Mayan, yes, pre-Columbian Central America culture. And I'm really excited for that. Ever since our senior year of high school, I have had a secret obsession with all things Mayan culture. I've collected lots of different things and masks and visited. You and I have visited together 3 different Mayan sites in Mexico. So I like that, to study that era and that history and everything. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see all of that. I think also the interesting thing is the new Black Panther. That was probably the biggest, you know, big jaw-dropping moment at the end that you see.
You see
Black Panther.
You see the new version of Black Panther. It's a little bit more female in nature, like just the just the way that they designed everything more feminine. And you,
how could you notice that? What was the giveaway on that?
It was just the design of it. I don't know. We've been waiting for this. Like, we've been waiting to get to see more of what they were going to do. They're still leaving it up in the air.
So much speculation. Yeah.
It's probably one of the two main lead actresses that are going to be in this. I think we all kind of assume it's going to be his sister is going to be the one that's going to be in it. But, we just got a little bit more taste of stuff happening.
Ironheart in full action. That was cool. That was exciting.
She's in the suit, right? The mech suit or something.
Honestly, I felt like it was very similar to the previous trailer that we had seen. Like, I don't think they really told us too much more. They just kind of showed us the same thing just from different angles. I mean, the only thing that we did discover is that the new Black Panther is female. Because there was some speculation if Warmonger somehow came back, was resurrected. I'd seen a couple of those theories floating around.
We got more view of Namor. Namor.
Yeah, we got more of Namor
world. So,
but I don't think there was anything like, we still don't know anything about plot or anything like that, which I'm cool. I'm fine with. I'm really excited about this. I saw, so you know this, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, went and saw the re-release of Avatar in theaters.
Four 4DX experience.
In the 4DX experience. But they played the other Wakanda Forever trailer beforehand. And that was my first time to see it up on the big screen. It's like, man, this is going to be good. This is just going to be epic and really good. So I'm excited.
November 11th. Is when it's going to be dropping. That's the next big Marvel release. So yes, it's going to be fun. I think we're all like, all the trailers, all the stuff so far has been very reverential to the original Black Panther, and Chadwick Boseman has been, you just kind of feel like the loss and the pain of the family, and
yeah,
very intrigued how they tie that into the story of battling Namor, and just very intrigued to know more as it comes out soon. But finally, Eddie, the other big news is this weekend dropped Hocus Pocus 2. We had a watch party, an actual watch party, not like the weird digital one where you sit at home by your, like, in separate places and play it at the same time, which we ought to try sometime, see if it's actually worth it. But we had a bunch of people over to watch the new Hocus Pocus film.
Oh, fun.
Did you watch it this weekend? Did you get a viewing in?
We watched it last night.
Ooh, so it's very fresh.
Very fresh,
very
my
fresh.
Mind.
How'd you feel about it?
I really liked it. I thought it was it's interesting, right? Because it was very entertaining. It was nothing like, whoa, this is amazing, blow my mind, incredible. But I thought it was entertaining. It was a solid story. You know, it's more antics of the Sanderson sisters. There was a few kind of, it was interesting how they, you know, gave kind of the backstory, the prelude at the beginning. I love Tony Hale.
By far, yes.
I'll take Tony Hale in anything. Just give me more Tony Hale. So I was a little sad when it first came on and he was in that section. And I'm like, no, you're bringing him in just for the little prelude part. Oh, stink. And then when he came back to be the mayor in The Hunt of His Candy Apple, I was like, I just wanted a scene at the end of him sitting on a park bench eating the candy apple and just giving a look of disgust.
For me, so we rewatched Hocus Pocus, the original one, in waiting for this to come out. And immediately I was like, this has the exact same energy as the first one. The three Sanderson sisters, it's like they had just literally been plopped out of one movie, aged a little bit, and then dropped into the next movie. And they just didn't feel like they missed a beat. They had all a similar vibe, tone, energy, like I said.
I saw an interview with the three actresses, and that was the question they asked them. They were like, was it hard to get back into these characters after 30 years? And all three, without skipping a beat, went, not at all. Like water off a duck's back. We were right back in it. They're like, we have always loved these characters and had so much fun doing it. They're like, yeah, it was, we loved it. And also we're like, yeah, we'll do as many of these as they want us to. We just have too much fun doing this. And I think that's a big part of it, right? Like, you can tell they're having fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And watching it, they're just kind of having fun playing off of each other and the little side stuff. And I think that was what made the original for me. And what is fun to see in this one is that the little bickering and the moments amongst them and the sisters and the little side things that if you're not listening well, you don't catch exactly what they're saying. That is just hilarious and fun. I felt like this movie, they understood what made the first one really good.
Yep.
And they just gave us more of that.
Mm-hmm. And twisted it just a little tiny bit here and there, like instead of having...
It was new enough, yeah.
That when they had the big bring everybody together and then they're going to do another like crowd song, they went with a different song instead of I Put a Spell on You and then kind of changed it up where they made everybody choreography and stuff together.
So my biggest complaint about this was their original song, The Witches Are Back. When it's done in the movie, it's like kind of playing in the background. Like they keep cutting away from it. And I was like, no, I want more of this. I want more of this. And so luckily, I think they must have felt that because they put the whole scene in the credits of them like recording it or whatever. Such a fun, catchy song. And just love the three of them playing off each other in that song.
When they first arrive in the forest and they start singing and they're like, who are they even singing for? Who are they singing for? I love that's where when we talk about what if they made this in 2022, how would they make it differently? Those self-referential nods is totally in what we expect kind of from films, especially these types of like drawing from older like remakes. And so I loved that little touch. Loved the Roombas that she's flying on.
And then as soon as you see them coming, you're like to like suck up the salt circle or whatever. Yep. It's just like, yes, that is such genius writing to get the Roombas in there so early. The scene of them in Walgreens, I was laughing hysterically at every little beat and all of that. There was just so many fun little bits in and throughout all of this. It knew what it was, and it gave us, and I think that's what I'm enjoying, that now that we have Disney Plus, is that we can continue to get Hocus Pocus type movies. Because I don't think they would have released... I don't think they would have done Hocus Pocus 2 in theaters.
No.
Without it. Without having Disney Plus. Because the first one was a flop in the theaters. And it took a long time for the cult following. It wasn't really until you had, you know, the 31 days of Halloween on ABC Family that it starts to really pick up and become this, like, huge thing. Till now, like, the Halloween party at Magic Kingdom has a whole Sanderson Sisters stage show. Like the big thing that that is based around is Hocus Pocus and the Sanderson Sisters.
I don't want to go too deep into any nitpicks on it, because I think if you like the original, you're going to enjoy this one as well. I think I just heard today as you were talking about like how it wasn't well received. This movie, this sequel actually has a higher Rotten Tomato meter than the original even does. Better critical acclaim from probably exactly what you were talking about. So I do have some nitpicks, but they're in the ending that I don't really want to spoil for people, because some people probably haven't gone to see it. Go watch it. Go turn it on, especially if you like the original. I think you're going to feel it's going to have a very similar energy to the original. If you didn't like the original, then you're probably not going to like this one. Avoid it anyways.
But how could you not like the original? What's the matter with you if you don't like the original?
Exactly. I don't know. I heard someone say didn't. I was just like, you need help. You need professional.
It's just fun. These are just fun, good, fun movies. It is. I'd love to know the numbers. I would guess Disney Plus had a big weekend of viewership because of this. And it makes me wonder, because there's a lot of buzz about this. There's a lot of buzz on the internet. So it makes me think that they did good numbers, which makes me hopeful. Like, okay, what else are you going to go back and touch? Like, what other things are you going to pull up?
It also makes me a little bit scared. Like, this might have been lightning in a bottle, and it's really hard. It's really hard to do. Like, we had I won't say low expectations. My wife had very low expectations, and she was worried. But sure. I was like, you know what? They can't really screw this up that bad. There are some other things that I think they probably could, but we'll just leave that to someone else to figure out. So that's it. That's all of the news. We spent a lot of time on news today and talking about the year 2002, because we've got a really long, in-depth, really heart-wrenching,
hard-hitting
review to do of our film today. And we've finally entered into 2002 with this bastion of all things Disney that we really need to get to right now. And I probably spent more time setting it up than we probably will actually take on the actual review, because we are doing 2002's Snow Dogs.
Cue the Disney sound effect.
Okay, the IMDb description for Snow Dogs is this. When a Miami dentist inherits a team of sled dogs, he's got to learn the trade or lose his pack to a crusty mountain man. Okay. This description did not sell me anymore on the story that we watched, even though it's exactly basically what we watched. Eddie, did you watch this? You're the dog, the animal lover.
This was my first viewing. I don't ever remember seeing this movie.
I thought you just, like, as a moral principle, watch every dog movie that Disney makes.
You would think, especially like sled dogs, like Iron Will, one of the favorite movies of all time in the Ferguson household. But somehow this one never hit our radar. And I can kind of maybe see why.
Poor Cuba Gooding Jr. It did make me go, what? He's been in some good movies, but has he had that many good performances in his career? He's got a lot of snow dogs in his IMDb.
He has an Academy Award for acting.
I know.
This guy is an amazing actor.
Was it Pearl Harbor that he got that for?
Or Jerry Maguire is what he got his... Jerry Maguire is what he got the Academy Award for, his Oscar for. But I mean, come on. I mean, he... Boys in the Hood, A Few Good Men, The Tusky Airmen, and then Outbreak. He was... I just watched Outbreak when the pandemic started. And then Jerry Maguire, but he's also in Men of Honor, Pearl Harbor. But it's really kind of like, I like Don't know.
And time is.
But yeah, I mean, he kind of had some rough spins there until you get to, I mean, he's an American Gangster in 2007. Lee Daniels, the butler in 2013. And then,
okay, you talked me back into it.
And then recently, 2016, he portrayed O.J. Simpson in the FX drama, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
You talked me back off the ledge, Eddie. There has been a lot of these style movies that he's done, but...
Yes, I will give you that. I will give you that. And this is so cheesy. I mean, it's cheese on cheese on cheese. Like, this is... Honestly... This movie reminded me of a Disney Channel original movie, a DCOM. Yep. I was like...
Oh, is that the industry term for it, DCOM?
A DCOM, yeah. Honestly, I had to double check just to make sure that this actually was a theatrically released movie and not a DCOM. And I'm like, there's no way it's a DCOM. There's no way they got Cuba Gooding Jr. in one of those, but... I'm so shocked that they got him in this thing. Man, this is so cheesy. This was hard to get through. This was a hard one. It had its light moments. It had its fun. Okay, this is interesting. This is that. This is this. But
cheesy.
Predictable plot.
Oh, no. Who's your father? Who could it be? Yeah. Oh, no. No, you could see that coming. That I was not invested in any second of this film, except for, you know, the part I'm talking about, Eddie. The best part of this entire film is when he's delirious and he wakes up on the beach with the talking dogs. That's not the part I'm talking about. The best part of this is when the album cover for Michael Bolton. When they showed the original CD and he puts it in, I was like, this is a very specific choice to show the album cover, like in the normal part.
And that all of his CDs were Michael Bolton.
Mm-hmm. So then when they go and the album is floating in air and then Michael Bolton starts talking to him, I immediately think of all the strange Michael Bolton stuff he's done with Lonely Island and other people.
Yeah.
That has made him a cult hero. And I feel like this was maybe there's other moments. I don't know much about
this. This is long before that, though. Lonely Island is like 08, 09.
So that's what I'm thinking. Unless there was something else, this feels like the moment when people were like, wait, Michael Bolton's weird. We should do something with this.
Like a funny weird.
Funny weird. Like he gets it and he gets the craziness of his, he's in on the joke. About his on who he is and the types of music that he makes.
2011 is when he appeared on Lonely Island.
Oh man, we were just singing that the other day, probably because of this film. So besides that, this movie is I can't believe they just made this film and they said someone paid to have this made in theaters and they put Cuba Gooding Jr. in this poor guy.
It was a book.
Was it? A Miami Dentist? That's where that's the literature that this came from? No.
There's no way that this... So, I mean, I'm looking at it. The book was called Winter Dance, The Fine Madness of Running the Iditarod. So my guess is it is loosely based off of that. Because even the plot of the book here, it's nothing like that.
It's like someone bought the rights, but then they... just decided it needs to be more family friendly or something like that. Yeah, it's hard to even explain because I feel like we're not telling people why it wasn't good. I feel like we're just like bashing it. So I'm trying to give examples other than every word of this script is bad. There's not even any great quotes in this film.
It is an overly predictable story. Like, it's just not even entertaining in any
way.
He's
going to get with the bartender. Okay. He's looking for his parents.
It's overacted to the 10th degree. Like, just over.
James Coburn is the...
Which is his... This is his last film. He died later this year.
No way. Yeah, I saw him and immediately was like, why do I know that voice? Sister Act 2. He's the pastor, the guy who, Mr. Crisp from Sister Act 2. Very
serious. Not to mention The Great Escape, The Magnificent Seven.
Better, like bigger films, but for me, it was Sister Act 2, that voice.
He,
go with God, Crispy.
Yes, he won an Academy Award for Affliction in 1998. Yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic actor. He's with Clint Eastwood, Steve McQueen, you know, he's done some pretty hefty roles. This is not one of them, and a really, really low note to go out on, poor guy.
Where he's basically just bartering the entire movie for the dogs and just, okay, 200. Okay, 250. Okay, and it's just like, bro, no one's buying the dogs. It's okay. Just stop. I can't remember his real name or his name in this, but when his mom comes out and shows up in Alaska and she's like, I'm sorry, all I got is American money. I did laugh at that.
You are an American. Now, my favorite part of this movie, I do enjoy that they used actual dogs.
Hey, it's like, okay, here we go.
Kudos to you. It wasn't this somebody like in a dog suit, but. Right? Except for the moments that it's like the real dog's face, and then they obviously are using CGI to make him wink or make an a human expression on a dog's face. It's just like, no, did you just do that? Oh, please no, please no.
We get a random performance from Cisco. In here, the artist Cisco. I'm like, I've seen him before. I think that's a music. And so I looked up. I was like, yep, that's Cisco.
Yeah.
This is his acting debut. Ooh, at the height of his fame. Probably could have picked a better movie than this.
One would hope. But yeah, I mean, there's... I can't even think of a... The beautiful views of Alaska. That, you know, that's always fun. You know, it's like, okay. Even that though, it's like not good cinematography. You're like, this is Alaska. Like, you can point a camera anywhere and get a decent shot.
You can
barely do that.
This is for sure a second screen watch. Like, I was doing other things while this was on the screen, just trying to get through it. And a lot of 10 second skip, 15 second skip, 30 second skip.
I got through it though. It's not one that I turn off or I'm just like, no. But I can't think of any redeeming quality. No. I can't think of any reason I would ever go and watch this again, or most certainly ever recommend anybody to watch it.
Which is why you're going with a 5 gummy worms status right here.
No. I'm going with, I can't even remember the... Yeah, I can't even like pull something interesting out of the movie to like compare it to. It's a one.
It's a solid one.
But it's weird because we're not giving like too many specifics here of why it's bad. It's just like
that's the problem.
There's
nothing to remember.
Train wreck. There's nothing to remember.
This is just whatever your typical under. If I just had to make, I'm just going to make a Hollywood comedy with snow dogs that's as bland as possible, that's this film.
That's the best comparison I can make here is it's a Disney Channel original movie. It just feels like that. And that if you didn't have the two big name actors in this could have easily slid right over to that category.
If there was no Michael Bolton, this thing wouldn't have gotten made.
Those weren't the two names I was thinking, but yes.
The whole sled being off the cliff and the dogs single-handedly keeping them up and pulling them up with their little tiny shoes, like, just no. I was just like, this isn't even close to believable whatsoever. No. But you know what? We never have to watch it again. That's the best part. Of this.
So ones all around.
And with that, your life has been forever changed by another episode of Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your other favorite podcast. And while you're there, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review or share it with your best friend.
You can also check us out at honeywemade.com, where you can see our full movie list as we continue to go through all the Disney movies from 1988 to 2005, which we're getting very close to, including next week when we review The Rookie.
Dennis Quaid! Woo-hoo. Thank you for listening, and remember, we'll be with you all in a while, and we promise to make you smile.